You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Five years ago, a musical that defied convention and enchanted audiences with its simplicity and profound storytelling closed on Broadway after almost a year and a half of critical and audience acclaim. The Band's Visit. Composed by David Yazbek and written by Itmar Moses, The Band's Visit emerged from a crowded field of pop rock musicals in the 2017-2018 season as a masterpiece that transcended the contemporary Broadway norms. The dynamic duo of Yazbek and Moses crafted a musical that gave audiences a rare opportunity to immerse themselves in a narrative that embraced simplicity and emotional resonance. The Broadway gem also made waves during the 2018 Tony Awards, earning a remarkable 11 nominations and taking home 10 of them, including the coveted Best Musical. Now, it faced stiff competition from big blockbuster shows like SpongeBob SquarePants, Mean Girls, and Frozen. But The Band's Visit found a way to touch hearts and minds that set it apart from those mega musicals. As we begin 2024, the Middle East is making headlines again and is dividing people in this country and abroad. So I wanted to showcase an Arab-Israeli musical that resonated with a variety of audiences on a deeper level, exploring the complexities of human connection and bridging divides through the universal language of music. What you're about to hear is an encore presentation of Why I'll Never Make It, of my 2018 interview with Jeff Tice, the associate conductor and keyboard player of The Band's Visit. In this exclusive conversation, we dive into the intricate world of the musical score, its unique approach to storytelling, and how it goes beyond Middle East tensions to instead focus on our shared human experiences, illustrating the power of connection that can overcome even the most profound political divisions. Join me on this journey as we revisit the timeless beauty of The Band's Visit, a musical that continues to remind us of the profound commonality that unites us all.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, here we are backstage. Actually, we're back of house.
Yeah,
of the Barrymore Theater, right. Yeah. With Jeff Tice, the associate conductor of The Band's Visit.
Hello.
Thank you for joining me.
Yeah,
thank
man,
you.
Of course.
So, Band's Visit has been nominated for 11 Tony
11.
Awards.
It's a nice, which,
yeah, exactly. And two of those are orchestrations.
Yes.
And also best score.
Yes.
So as a conductor of this music, what is it like to play and to conduct this music on a nightly basis?
Right. I've been telling so many people, if you've seen the show, you know that it's very still. Like, there's a lot of silence in the show. And so silence, I think plays as big of a part as the music in the show. I tell people that it's sort of my hour and a half of quiet time every day. There's not a whole lot of your traditional up-tempo musical theater things.
It's a very mid-tempo to ballady kind of feel.
Right, yeah. Say the back half of the show is very ballad-esque, you know, with a little extra flavor thrown in there. But yeah, it's very... the music has been described as enrapturing, and people... just, I guess, just like the show itself, people have had a hard time pinning down exactly what to say about it.
Well, yeah, because in listening to it, you know, because David Yazbek, so there's a little bit of pop rock feel to a song.
So you still get those David Yazbek bass lines.
Right.
Bump. Dun, yeah,
right,
dun,
you still
dun,
have that feel. And, you know, then, and can, then there's that Middle Eastern flair to some songs. And then all of a sudden, then you're into traditional like jazz, ballad music.
Yeah.
So you kind of run the gamut of a lot of different
it's
styles.
It's really cool, which is, you know, the thing that got me interested in musical theater really in the first place was just the pure amount of different styles that you can get your hands on. And this is, you know, klezmer and traditional Arabic music is just one more to add to that list, which is so great, you know, that we get to sort of introduce that.
Now, is there a different style to playing that kind of music? Obviously, it sounds different to our Western ears, but is there a style, is there a feel to it that's different?
Right. I mean, as a white guy from Texas, when they first brought me
as a white guy from Alabama,
see,
so I know.
There you go, right? When they first brought me on to this project for the Atlantic, when we were downtown, I remember the first day that the onstage band guys came in, and I was like, what is that? And what instrument is that? And how is that tuned? And how is that written out? And so, I mean, it's really cool that the onstage guys really a lot of their expertise in this style. I mean, Yazbek would write, you know, the melodies and have sort of a structure that he wanted, and then the guys would just sort of go to town on it. And our music director, Andrea Grody, also arranged a lot of things together. And then, but it was amazing at sort of how collaborative the whole process was.
Yeah, it was a Yazbek idea that flourished with all these other minds and players getting into
it. Yeah. And the guys would be playing and they would say, you know, traditionally we would do something more like this. And then they would play it for Yazbek and he'd say, oh, I like components of that, but our Western ear is going to expect something else. So like a good example of that is in the concert at the very end during the percussion solo, there's a 16 bar percussion solo and 8 bars of that is just the percussion by itself. And then the back half, the back 8 bars of that is everybody in the band goes dun-dun while the percussion keeps playing. Guys in the band would say, well, you know, if we all do those hits, bonk, bonk, like that's not something that would traditionally be done. And Yazbek said, well, yeah, but our Western ears are going to want to hear, to have something to latch onto.
Yeah, the Broadway musical audience is going to need
that. Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, it does. It adds a little bit of variety and a little bit of anticipation to that, to the end of that percussion solo, so that you're like, oh, something's coming. Something's about to happen, something new. And then we go back into the return of the dee-da-da-da-da-da-da.
I was reading a lot of what other people were saying, and one of my favorite quotes was from an audience member who came and said, this is a show for humans who know how to feel. And so obviously there is a lot that comes to the audience or kind of washes over the audience throughout this show.
Absolutely. I mean, I knew it was so special when we were downtown rehearsing. We were rehearsing at Manhattan Theater Club for the Atlantic production. And Andrea, the music director, said, I want you to go. We were in just one of those little rooms. And she said, I want you to go sit on the other side of the room and just, you know, take notes, you know, because she was playing at the piano. And so I went to the other side of the room and we ran the whole show. This was towards the end of the rehearsal process. And just like so many of my friends have said, like it sneaks up on you. And at the end, you are so emotionally affected by it and you can't describe why. And so at the end of the run, Andrea and I would get together and she would say, so what notes do you have? And I would say, well, about halfway through, I just stopped taking notes because I was just completely mesmerized. Mm. And, you know, I would, you know, be emotionally affected. And I would just say, you know what? Like, there's something really special about this and I can't put my finger on it. And still, I really can't. It just affects people and because of that human level. I mean, it's a story that we may not be familiar with in terms of any kind of political goings on or dealings in that part of the world, but just sort of the theme of like, we're all brothers and
we're all in this world together.
We're all in this world together and we should all take care of each other. If there's somebody in need, like you should do what you know, offer whatever you have to help them out. And so something, very universal about that.
Because in last year's season, there was a similar show, Come From Away, which is that very same theme of bringing people in who are there unexpectedly.
Exactly. And I've in a very quick elevator pitch way, I've sort of described to other people that where the Arabic come from away.
Yeah,
there's definitely not as much choreography and right. there's not as much sort of high energy in at times, you know, it's a very subdued Arabic come from away.
Yeah, and speaking of which, I mean, that is one thing that definitely sets Band's Visit apart from the other nominees for Best Musical. They're big and flashy. They have big names behind
right,
them. Not only the titles themselves are known and have been in the public for a long time, but Band's Visit is so different from that, and it's kind of this sleeper musical that just keeps going, and people, as you said, they don't know why they feel the way they do, but they just want more of it.
Right, exactly. There was a Washington Post article about that said something like, the Band's Visit, the little musical that could, or something, you know? And so, yeah, and I mean, while those other shows are known quantities to the public, they're, you know, they have name recognition, they have brand recognition already, and they are based on movies or TV shows in case of like SpongeBob. But we're also based on a movie, which right. a lot of people don't realize.
Which I didn't realize until I started reading up on it. I was like, oh, this is based on a movie too.
Exactly. And yeah. and when I was brought on, I didn't realize that it was a movie either. And I found you couldn't stream it anywhere, you know. So I had, I went back to the dark days and like ordered a physical copy of Amazon.
Wow.
I know,
wow.
right? And so when I first watched it, just a couple of weeks out before we started rehearsals, I was just like, how is this a musical? Because I was thinking in terms of like Mean Girls or SpongeBob or you know, something high energy,
right.
you know, a tap number, you know, a kick line, you know, stuff like that. And I watched the original Israeli movie that it's based on, and I just thought, where's the kick line going to go, you know?
Right. Yeah, where's the big production number?
Where's the big production number? And there's not. We don't have one.
Hmm.
Which I think is really cool. And our producer, Oren Wolf, also talked a lot about when the feel he wanted to set up when you first walked into the theater. I mean, we're on 47th Street, right off of Times Square. You know, we're right across from Waitrose.
Yeah.
But, you know, the hustle and bustle right outside the door. And then you walk in and there's, you know, music, just solo lines of our guys in the band. Just mm-hmm. And they said they wanted it to be like sort of a prayer from the minaret, sort of. You know, like a solo violin, sort of slow and just winding, and that our amazing George Aboud plays, and he's so incredible. But it really sets the tone for the show. You know, you walk in from the hustle and bustle outside, and you hear these sort of haunting, sweet, prayer-like melodies with the pre-show music, and you sit down, and you know, and even the projection that's happening on the scrim, you know, before it starts.
Yeah.
Is sort, you know, has sort of like sort of a wave sort of feel to it, almost like a mirage, you know?
Yeah.
And
so really just kind of, okay, put the city aside.
Right, put the city aside.
Let go of your day.
Yeah.
And now you're in
this
yeah,
is a quiet
now you're
space.
In this world.
This
yeah.
is a quiet, which, like I said, you know, going back to what I said before, this is like a dedicated quiet time for me, 8 shows a week.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So talk about your journey with the musical. When did you start with it?
Right. So there was no out-of-town tryouts or anything. And there were a lot of workshops before I was brought on. And that was only Andrea in terms of music team other than Yazbek and our contractor, Dean Chernow. And they were looking for an associate for the show. And I had worked with Dean, our contractor, a couple years ago on Lysistrata Jones. And
oh,
so
okay.
he remembered me from that. So he gave me a call and said, would you come in and you know, we'll see if you're a good fit for the show and in terms of what you'd be doing conducting wise. So I came in just right before we started the Atlantic. Actually, I was up at Merry-Go-Round.
Which is how we know each
which
other.
Which is how we know each
yeah.
other, yeah.
Yeah, from Merry-Go-Round Playhouse. And so in the interim between when you left Atlantic to when you opened here at the Barrymore, what was that process like? Was there some revisions? Was there a lot of tweaking at that
there
point?
There was. I played for like one or two like all-day choreography workshops where our choreographer, Patrick McCollum, got some of his friends together and we just sort of experimented with like what could be going on during Omar Sharif and, you know, and some other ideas that wanted to implement downtown, but didn't. We didn't have the time or the space, or you know. I mean, that's really all I touched on it when we were in the interim.
Was that with the knowledge that it was coming here to the Barrymore at that time?
I didn't have that knowledge, but I think people that
people higher up,
the muckety mucks, yeah, I think they knew. I mean, you know, I wanted to believe, of course, that was what was happening. But you know, in this business, you also don't want to, you know,
put
your eggs in one
you
basket.
You can't.
So you just have to keep going, like, you know, like everything's normal. And and I did, and I went back to merry-go-round, and you know, did my normal stuff. But yeah, so we transferred almost the entire original company, and then we added our onstage percussionist. Osama, who is actually from Alexandria, where the band is from in the show.
How about that?
And
wow.
So, yeah, bringing him in just added this whole other sort of energy. And
authenticity.
And yeah, of course.
For sure.
We didn't have that onstage percussion downtown, and so it was even sort of even a quieter experience downtown because there wasn't that sort of driving, you know, like if you've seen the show, you know he plays so loud and so, you know, with such gusto, and it just really adds this whole other energy to it.
And how many pieces did you add going from the Atlantic to here?
So we kept everything. So I think same pieces. So we had 8 downtown, and then we added Osama, which was the 9th person.
Wow.
So 4 of us stay in the pit the whole time, 2 keyboards, bass, and drums. And then the other 5 guys from the pit split their time. They're the ones in the blue suits, so they split their time between down the pit and up on stage.
Yeah.
And you'll know they're the 802. They're the union guys because they don't have lines.
Right.
So they're the ones that play and don't have lines, except, of course, for George Aboud, our violinist and oud player. He is actually an Equity actor first, and he just happened to grow up with this music, and his father and his grandfather have played this music before him. And and so, you know, he was very immersed in that world already, and he speaks fluently. And so he has, you know, scenes to himself. And I don't know exactly how it works, but he's half 802, half Equity.
Yeah.
So he comes down and plays in the pit with us. And then he's on stage, and he just, like, rips these, like, violin solos that are just crazy. It's just like sort of this Arabic fiddling that's, you know, full of, you know, microtonal stuff and, you know, all that.
So apart from the music, which was nominated, obviously a lot of the actors were best directed. So it's an onstage acting piece as much as it is a musical piece, for sure.
Absolutely. And sort of my other half of my really quick elevator pitch to people who ask what it is, I say it's more like a play. I mean, there's still a song every scene, but it's, and now we have one of our actors warming up. I don't know if you can hear that. But it is more like, it has more of the feel of a play. And, you know, David Cromer, our director, this is his first, well, I don't know if it's his first musical ever, but, you know, he's, you know, this is...
he comes from the play world.
He comes from the play world, exactly. Yeah. So it really has that play sort of mentality to it, with a song every scene. And I think one of the great things about bringing so much of the original cast to the transfer is that when we started rehearsing for the transfer, we already knew what the show was. You know, we had all done it before.
Right.
We did a table read, and we were all like, oh yeah, that went really well. Just like being back in the saddle. But it afforded us the opportunity to really work transitions and to really dig deeper into the acting side. So it's not just, and because we're a one act and because there's no production numbers, it really afforded us the opportunity to really zero in on those elements, on those acting play-like elements.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we didn't have to, you know, devote whole days to giant production numbers, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I think just all those things sort of, like, really worked in our favor, and we really focused on transitions alone, I think, are just, it's worth seeing the show just for the transitions.
and so with that work, obviously, as you said, it touches on some Middle Eastern issues that we in the West kind of hear about in the news, but we obviously don't have a firsthand experience of. What was their idea in kind of bringing these tensions onto the stage?
You know, I can't completely speak for Cromer, but the things that he said to us in rehearsal were that we don't want to make it about that. And our playwright, Itamar Moses, we in adapting the film, actually the film is not that way either. There's only one scene in the film where they first get to the cafe, and they're sitting at a table close to the wall, and there's a little picture of a tank that's been framed on the wall, and one of the guys from the band looks at it, and he takes his hat off, and he hangs his hat over
to cover
the picture of the tank. You know, it's only as big as his hat, and I think that's a really great sort of symbol for what, you know, just saying to putting that issue to rest. Like,
yeah,
it's like
that's there, that's a given, but now let's talk about something deeper.
Exactly.
Something more meaningful.
If you're coming in and you know that it's about a group of Israelis and a group of Egyptians, you already have sort of a light understanding of what could happen, you know,
right.
But that's not what the show is about. So it's definitely there in the fact that in the opening scene, George's character says, and be on the lookout. Ariel's character says, for what? And then he can't think of anything. And, you know, and so that's sort of our way of sort of like
a hint at it.
Right.
So the direction really was to steer clear of that and just deal with these people and interacting and how
as
that
humans. Right.
Right.
And exactly. So, and you know, you get visually too, I mean, the costume design, the powder blue suits are so striking against the beige background that you already visually, symbolically understand that these people are completely out.
They
of their
stand
element.
Out.
They stand out. Right. Yeah. And so you already, just on that level, you're like, wow, this group of people is completely different from this other group of people. And, they didn't want to make it about that. It's not about the politics. It's about the human connections. And so you see that there's a divide there. And what's the bridge? The bridge
right.
is our humanity. The bridge is music is a common language.
And I would say that that's probably the reason why it's so different from the other three nominated for Best Musical. It is this very simple story, a very simple look at how people come together and how they interact. Apart from politics and all the other things that can divide us, but just how people come together.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's really as simple as that, you know, and it's not much longer than the original movie. I mean, I think the movie is an hour and a half, and I think we're an hour and a half, and
yeah.
You don't want to overstay your welcome. You
yeah.
don't want it to keep it in the idea of the show. Yeah, you know, and so it's just a simple story, and it just takes one act to tell, and there's nothing, you know, at the end of the show, you can, you know, sort of, if you want to continue the story on yourself in your head, you know,
right. You can imagine
what happens to these
yeah.
people, right?
Yeah.
Which is one reason we wanted to put the concert in for this version was after the bows was sort of a, it could be represented as like, you know, they got to where they were going
yeah.
and this is what happened, you know, and this is the music that they played.
Yeah.
So in that way, you don't have to imagine, like you can hear, you know, the conclusion of that part of the story, you know,
yeah.
but, you know, when they get back, you know, what happens? Does Khalid get expelled from the band? You know, I mean, you can fill that in yourself. Like his relationship with Tufik has changed, the band leader. His relationship with the band leader has changed over the course of the hour and a half that you're watching the show. And it all takes place in about 24 hours.
Yeah. And was it like this from the beginning? Did people know, okay, we have something special. This could really resonate with people.
I mean, they knew, yeah, we all knew that. Like I said, when I was in rehearsal for Downtown, I would just be like, wow, there's something happening here. Something
yeah.
is really cool. But, you know, then again, you still don't know if it's going to take off with people. I mean, you know, there's lots of things that have been small things.
That have been wonderful.
That are wonderful and very special. And
yeah.
they don't last that long. I mean, look at Indecent last year. You know, I mean, that... I mean, didn't they post a closing notice and then they ended up extending?
Yeah, then it's like,
it's
yeah.
like, hey,
it's like wait, I want to see it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so
yeah.
it could have easily sort of gone that way, you know,
yeah.
in the sense that we were just a little jewel that happened and then we were gone.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, it would still be as special that way if it is this way, you know, as it is this way.
Right.
You know, but
it's so much more than just this Tony nominated show.
Of course.
It's obviously got a lot of depth to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining me on this encore presentation of Why I'll Never Make It from the second season with my friend and guest, Jeff Theis. I'm your host, Patrick Oliver Jones, in charge of writing, editing, and producing this podcast. The next season of Closing Night is a few months away, so I hope you'll enjoy more bonus episodes like these between now and then.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the Rise Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RiseTheatre.org, because only together we rise.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.